welcome to the May 2025 edition of Outbeat News in Depth. I'm Greg Moralia. Well, this coming Friday, the 40th annual Sonoma County Pride Celebration kicks off 3 days of events, starting with the raising of the Pride flag over Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa. As Washington, D.C. continues hosting the World Pride Celebration, prides everywhere, large and small, feel more important than ever this year. My guests tonight are some of the organizers of this year's Pride Parade and Celebration, and they'll share all you need to be part of the festivities. So stay with us. It's all coming up next, right after your Outbeat Radio news for this Sunday, May 25th, 2025. I love to change the world. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of May 25th, 2025. In the country of Ghana, legislators introduced a bill earlier this month to increase criminal penalties for homosexuality and for supporting LGBTQ+ rights. The Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Bill, if passed, would punish same-sex acts with a term of up to 3 years for same-sex relations and 5 years for, quote, the willful promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ+ activities. A similar bill was introduced in the West African nation back in 2021, and 2 preemptive cases were filed against the bill, but Ghana's Supreme Court dismissed both of them unanimously because the president had yet to approve the bill. Ghana's new president, John Mahama, sounded supportive of the bill, and he told the delegation of Catholic bishops, quote, I don't know what the promoters of the bill intend to do, but I think we should have a conversation about it again, end quote. President Mahama said recently that he is committed to passing the anti-homosexuality bill, and anti-LGBTQ+ attitudes in the country appear to be on the rise, with government officials calling homosexuality an import from the West. And here in the United States, about 52% of Americans approve of President Donald Trump's handling of transgender issues, according to a new poll by the Associated Press. The poll asked 1,175 U.S. adults between May 1st and 5th whether they approve the way Trump is handling transgender issues, whether a person's male or female identity is determined by their biological characteristics at birth, and about the government's policies regarding transgender people's lives. The poll found that while only 41% of people support President Trump's job as president in general, 52% support his handling of transgender policy issues. 68% of respondents said that a person's male or female identity is determined by their biological characteristics at birth. About 89% of Republican respondents agreed with that statement, but only 74% of independents and 44% of Democrats agreed. The poll did find that a majority of respondents across all major political affiliations do not support government funding of gender-affirming medical care for transgender people of all ages, though opposition is notably higher for providing this care to transgender youth under the age of 19. And in Florida, an appeals court has issued another legal defeat against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in his attempt to ban all ages of drag performances, calling the law overbroad and saying that it attempts to take a, quote, shotgun to constitutionally protected free speech. Earlier this month, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal issued a 2-1 decision against the law, effectively continuing a lower court's injunction against the law and sending it back down to Florida's Middle District to receive a full bench trial. The case began back in May of 2023 when Governor DeSantis signed a bill allowing the State Department of Business and Professional Regulation to revoke the business license of any venue that allows minors to see drag performances, even if their parents consent. Businesses who violate the law can be fined $5,000 to $10,000, and anyone who violates the law can be charged with a criminal misdemeanor. The drag-themed restaurant chain Hamburger Mary's challenged the law in court, saying that it had harmed their business and violated their free speech rights. In late July 2023, District Judge Gregory Presnell agreed, calling the ban, quote, vague and overbroad. And here locally, this June will mark the 30th anniversary of the Pink Triangle installation up on Twin Peaks in San Francisco. In June of 1996, under the cover of darkness, Patrick Carney and some of his friends staged a guerrilla art installation on top of Twin Peaks. There, pink tarps were laid out in the shape of a triangle, visible to all who came to the annual Pride Parade and celebration in San Francisco. Some people didn't know what it was or even why it was there, but Carney's vision was part art and part education. The gigantic triangle is a tribute to the dark period of history, even as it celebrates progress made by the LGBT community. The pink triangle was a symbol used by the Nazis at the concentration camps during World War II to brand suspected homosexuals. The pink triangle was reclaimed by the LGBTQ community in the 1970s as a symbol of protest against homophobia and has been used to represent LGBTQ plus pride ever since. A large group of volunteers will complete this year's installation on Saturday, June 7th. The installation will be followed by a ceremony with San Francisco Pride Grand Marshals and other officials. It will remain up and visible through the city's Pride celebration, which happens on June 28th and 29th. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia. But I don't know what to do. One of the things I don't think many people realize about Pride events is that they're all usually produced by dedicated volunteers who invest themselves all year long to ensure the rest of us have a great time. My guests tonight lead a mighty team of volunteers and have planned for you a very special 40th annual Pride celebration. Chris Crenn-Mora and Cheryl Kabanuk, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Great to be here.
Great to have you on. We try to do this every year. I think last year we may have missed out, but Sonoma County Pride and the celebration is coming up next weekend, so this is a perfectly timed show to share with the community all that's going on. But before we get to that, let's remind everybody about the roles that you both play in Sonoma County Pride. You've been with this organization for quite some time now. Cheryl, let's start with you.
Okay. Yes, I've been on the Sonoma County Pride Board since 2018 and was invited to join the board after I was involved in an organization called Santa Rosa Gaydar, along with Chris and another person. So the three of us were asked to join the board because of all the events that we were putting on. And so they thought we'd be great asset to the board. So yeah, since 2018, and then I've been the parade coordinator since then, and I'm also the secretary now. Anyway, so it's been a great experience, and so going into the seventh year, it's hard to believe it's been that long. I mean, the time has just flown, and the people on the board I love, and we all work so well together as a team, and we continue to grow, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Awesome. Chris, remind us who you are, and you've been involved with this organization now for quite some time as well.
Yeah, like Cheryl was saying, so Christopher Crenn-Mora, I'm born and raised here in Sonoma County. It's always been kind of a vision to be out and proud and be able to be, you know, freely gay in Santa Rosa or Sonoma County, for that matter. But yeah, we started, Cheryl invited me to join her. It was a social group when we started back, 2015, way, way back. Helped with that, and we caught the eyes of that board of Sonoma County Pride at the time. And they were running into hurdles out in Guerneville of maxing out the space and not being able to service the whole county. Mm-hmm. But when we came on board, we helped them find a location in Santa Rosa, and we just upped and moved it and tried to do it in Santa Rosa, and found that we can move an event that was only 1,000 people to 5,000 people the first year. And as we've progressed to, let's just fast forward to last year, almost 20,000 people we had attend our parade and festival last year. And wow, we are now one of the largest community events here in Santa Rosa. And we get the support of the, you know, city and the county and everybody. When we ask for help, they most of the time jump on board and help us out, which has been great.
That's fantastic. And this year's celebration is quite a milestone, 40 years.
Yeah.
And you've put together, I read, a very detailed history of Sonoma County Pride, which is fantastic. We'll try to get that maybe posted to our website. But Chris, kind of give us the highlights of the last 40 years as you look at that history, because it really did all start in another very politically challenging time for us in the 80s, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not totally privy of what happened in the past, but we've been able to document a lot of it with the historical timeline that we've been working on. There's a lesbian archives group here in Sonoma County that's been able to capture some of the history. So we did our best to try to piece together how Pride started. And it was a hurdle talking to
Magi.
But talking to her, The county wouldn't jump on board. It took them like 5 years just to get the county to declare Pride Month. And it was a hurdle to get permits running. So Pride kind of started out as a little hidden picnic in, Howarth Park. And it slowly grew from that. And Pride's had its ups and downs because it started to grow and get a little bit bigger in the 90s. And then we had financial difficulties. And it moved out to Guerneville in the late 90s. The sisters helped pick us up and keep the ball rolling. And although it was a small, group and small parade and everything then, but as time went on, as we hit the early 2000s, the needs picked up a lot. Our county grew. You can even tell by the census back in 2001. We were named the, what was it? How did they put it? The second gayest city in the state, or actually country, I believe it. The article was written.
Yeah, it's country.
Which really opened up our eyes. Like, okay, there's a larger piece that we need to service. And when you start analyzing Guerneville and how Sonoma County is laid out, unfortunately, it's a little far out there for people in Sonoma. And there's no public transportation on the weekends, so we had some hurdles. That's where Santa Rosa came in play, where it was like, wow, it's a hub. It really is. Santa Rosa, it really is the hub of the county. And it just made sense.
I remember going to the rides that were in downtown Santa Rosa, and the parade ended up at the college. And gosh, the parade might have been about a half hour long, not even that. And it was really great. And then we just had a big picnic at the college. And there were like, I thought, wow, there were tons of people then, but it has grown so much, like Chris was saying, over the years. And like you said, mainly because of the need for it, for the visibility. And also, Sonoma County, we're so fortunate to have such a big community here.
There's a lot of pride in Sonoma County, and the more the merrier. It really opens up, I think, our county.
Especially now. Well, and this year you have a special dedication. This year's celebration is dedicated to Roby Ernst. Tell us about Roby's story.
Yeah, Roby was one of the f so as groups come and go, ours like dissolved before this version of Pride. We call it the modern era of our Pride, which was started in like 2014, 15. And Roby was one of the folks that lived out in Guerneville. He made his way here through his life, and he helped step up him and a few other people with some of our current board members, Brian Rogers, to pick up Pride and move it and get it going again. When Cheryl and I came on board, Roby was a mentor.
Roby was just a wonderful soul. He was such a kind man, and he just like took so much pride in being on the Pride board, and just a gentle soul. Chris, I know you had many more personal experiences with him in his later, before he passed. But Roby's just he was just such an inspiration, because at his age, even like he just kept going, and he was the secretary at one time, and I feel like I can't keep up with what an excellent job he did at keeping records and everything, and I tried so hard. But he was just a wonderful person to know and to have on the board, because he was so level-headed. Chris, go ahead, Chris.
That's well, and passionate. Like he really had a passion about it, and I think that's what gravitated me towards him, as a him mentoring me of what pride should be and how, it was, it's interesting. I'm a he was double my age, so it's kind of, well, not quite double, but it was just interesting to have that perspective. And his background, if you read it, he was gonna become a priest as a gay man, become a priest. And that's just amazing to hear. Like, oh, you were actually in the clergy. And he talks about it in a book that he wrote. And when he came to West County, one of the things that he wanted to preserve our history and our history, as in the LGBTQ history of Sonoma County. And he did a lot, him and another one of our board members, Vicky, did a lot to preserve the history and work with the Historical Society of Russian River to document it. And I just found it fascinating. And it's sad that after his passing, I learned more about him. And I wish I would have been able to get the stories. I mean, my husband and I went while he was on hospice and went to talk to him as much as we possibly could. And it was fun. It was fun to hear the stories. And I'm glad I could be there for his transition.
Sounds like a wonderful guy to dedicate this celebration to, especially this 40-year milestone. So congratulations. Definitely. On that.
Thank you.
And Roby always was like complimenting us, you know, when we joined the board, like, oh my God, you're just doing such a wonderful job. And he's just so humble, and he had no ego whatsoever, yet he was such a big integral part of where Pride was at, you know, when we all joined. So
I always liked his loud shirts. He always, anytime we would order our Pride shirts, oh, I want that bright yellow one or the bright orange. And his estate just handed over all of his Pride shirts. And I have like a whole rainbow of colors of these shirts that they make me smile every time I see him.
Nice. Well, without a doubt, this is a pretty disturbing and difficult time for everybody, for all of us in the LGBT community. And we've got so many different challenges on different levels. But one that seemed to emerge maybe louder than it's been in the past last year was on the sidelines of the parade against law enforcement. And I know we've talked about this on the show before. This isn't a new issue. A lot of cities have been able to work past it, but this seems to be perhaps a new issue this year. Cheryl, you told me that you're now involved with Santa Rosa PD and maybe working on trying to navigate this a bit. To give us a little bit of the history and talk about what's going on.
Well, yes, I applied for a committee that the chief of police runs, and it's consists of liaisons in the community. So I joined to be a liaison with the LGBT community. It's called the Chief's Community Advisory Team. So we haven't had our first meeting yet. It's in June, but I am involved now. They suggested that I go through this class, which is 7 weeks long, which goes over every single department of the police department, you know, a department, you know, like from drug investigation to officer wellness to we're good. I think next week we're covering sideshows. And anyways, just how the police department operates. We went on a tour, and I'm really excited to get started on it because, like I said, because we haven't had one of those meetings yet. I'm not sure how it's all going to run, but I'm feeling like it's a really perfect time for me to be doing this because of the feedback and because of what's been going on in our community. And we did have a big community meeting where we got lots of feedback about law enforcement. And after a couple of organizations filed a petition against us last year for having law enforcement in the parade, and they came forward in a not so respectful way of us because they just kind of did it without coming to Pride and saying, hey, can we talk to you guys about this? And there were protesters at the parade.
Mm-hmm. They actually did come. They came to us 48 hours before the parade last year and asked us to remove all the uniformed police officers from the parade, which was difficult. We did try to communicate to tone it down, you know, like no lights, no sounds. Let's tone it down a little bit. Let's try to be respectful of triggering moments. But that was not sufficient. And they chose to protest the parade, which is difficult because we have some people that we like to honor. Chris Maharin, Sergeant Maharin, is a great example. Him and his husband walk in the parade hand in hand.
He's actually a lieutenant now.
Oh, lieutenant. Yeah. He's moving on up.
Yeah.
You know, him and his husband walk in the parade and we're holding hands, and they became the poster people, so to speak, for the anti-police and pride.
But it's almost like, and these people that were protesting, and I totally respect, you know, their opinion and where they're coming from, because of course I can say, I'm privileged in the sense I'm a white woman, but we've all experienced oppression in the sense of like we're gay. I am a woman, so I've experienced oppression there. But these youngsters kept, they had signs like "Remember Stonewall" and all this, and I'm thinking, you weren't even born when Stonewall happened. Not that they couldn't have researched it or something, but I still kind of feel like it was inappropriate the way they handled it. But we listened. We got feedback, and we listened, and we took action, and we're still work. It's still an ongoing issue. It's not over. But our decision this year, we are going to have law enforcement in the parade, and we're compromising in that we're not going to have red lights and sirens, and hoping that we're going to have like maybe community vehicles. Like for example, the Santa Rosa PD, they're going to do the Mary Lou car, which is kind of a low rider car that they made for a police officer that passed away during the COVID pandemic. And we did last year, we had like eight law enforcement organizations. I honestly don't think there's going to be that many this year, but we're limiting it to how many uniformed officers can march. I think we limited it to five. So I feel like we're doing big compromises with this group of people because, like I said, it's an ongoing conversation. It's not over. It's going to be ongoing. My heart, my true, my, I think the law enforcement should be in the parade as they always have been because I think it's such an important thing to bridge the gap and not make the gap bigger. And like I said, I've never been in the shoes of someone that's been triggered. You know what I mean? By the police. I have police officers in my family, so I don't have anything against law enforcement, but that's me. That's my personal opinion. But we are listening to the community. And so I feel like we've compromised a lot this year, including law enforcement. And I did notice that the sheriff department did register because we've been kind of waiting for to get back and forth with law enforcement. So it's looking good. And I don't I hope that explains where we're at. Is there
Sure.
another question?
Well, the whole process has
There's
been
so much to say about it.
right. Well, the process that how it all came out, and unfortunately, our Pride Board took it as a personal attack. It wasn't really, it was hard because it all came through as a personal attack because our Pride Board, I'm going to speak for all of us, have felt that we have been trying to build a bridge and build the gap between, the PD or law enforcement in general and the Pride community, the LGBTQ community. And to hear that the way it came to us, they were telling us that agencies like in Santa Rosa were having issues with the transgender community. And in one of our first meetings, the group was telling us this. Oh, yeah, there was this transgender day of awareness, and SRPD was pulling people over. And we're like, really? Luckily, there was somebody from SRPD in the room, and they sent us a very extensive report of incidences that particular day. And the sad part was SRPD actually had nobody on duty it within or around the event during the time. So there was no information. There were no incidences officially sent out. And the group just kind of tossed it to the side and kept pushing their agenda on no police being celebrated. Great. The conversations were really interesting because we can't hold an event like what we have without some sort of law enforcement presence. The city and county require it. That there's actually a formula for every 1,000 people you have to have some sort of representation. So, and we explained to the group that with an event our size, we work hand in hand. Since we've moved to Santa Rosa, we get threat assessments. SRPD and the Sheriff's Department watch the internet and social media and let us know when something's going to happen. We had an event a few years ago, Drag on Ice. They called us up like a week before the event and said, "Oh, we're seeing chatter that the Proud Boys are going to come and protest your event. We would like to be there. We want to park a vehicle. We want to have a couple officers just enjoy the show and be there in case something happens." And that's actually like great. Like we didn't even have it on our radar to think that a smaller 100-person event would be a target like that.
Well, then it also feels like that the law enforcement is looking out for us. I mean, it's like they do care that our community is protected. And I feel really excited about being on this new committee with the chief, because like I said, this is an ongoing conversation, and I'm excited to get some feedback from our community, which, like I said, we've gotten a lot already, but it's ongoing, and we'll see what happens during this parade, because they're going to be there. The law enforcement's going to be there, toned down, but they're still going to be there. So we'll
and the protesters. We're planning every year when we put together the parade and festival, especially since we've moved to Santa Rosa, we have designated free speech areas, is what we call them. They're not in the festival and they're not in the parade. They're off to the side, but there is space available. This is going to be our first year. We've been going around as a board. We're going to publicize these areas and designate them and try to get the message out that if you want to protest us, here's your spot to do it. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to build, even within our own community. We're not, I'm not about dividing our community. I really want us all to come together, especially right now.
Right.
Better in numbers.
Right. Well, yeah. A lot of cities have overcome this problem. It's not a new one, as you already alluded to. A lot of organizations have designated officers to be liaisons to the LGBT community. I mean, that's an idea that goes back to San Francisco in 1962. And one of the fundamental differences is that this participation and communication with the LGBT community goes on year round, not just in preparation for Pride. So it would be great to see the agencies in Sonoma County. I know Roanoke Park has done this already, but it would be great to see all of the agencies in Sonoma County have a designated officer as a liaison. It's a practice that exists throughout the country, and I think it could do a lot to help build those bridges, Cheryl, that you talked about.
Right, and also being on that committee, that's something I could suggest. You know, so I haven't been to a meeting yet, so I'm not sure how it's run and how it goes. It's once a month for an hour and a half, so of course that's not a long time. That's not a lot of meetings, but I know the chief has come to these classes. He always comes, talks about hot topics that are going on. If anybody has questions, like if something they've heard in the news, at the beginning of each class, and he also gave us all his, business card saying, hey, contact me anytime. I mean, it all sounds great. So I'm really looking forward to working with it. And it's exciting.
Thanks for taking that on for us. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, let's get talking about this year's celebration. It all begins this coming Friday, May 30th, with an event to support the transgender community. Let's start there. Tell us about it.
Well, let's roll back to 11 a.m. where we raise the flag. Sorry.
Okay.
We start the weekend with raising. During the pandemic, our pride group did a community fundraiser to have new flags put together with the intersex. So we have the progress flag with the progress flag with the intersex added, and we had a very large one created because we wanted to be able to show that we are moving forward a little bit in our community. And on the Rosenberg Building in downtown Santa Rosa, we raise a 10-foot by, it's a huge flag. It's probably the most emotional experience that I ever have. And because it was during the pandemic, we still live stream it. So we start out on the square and we'll live stream it. It takes about 30 minutes, but it's fun to let everybody into an experience that we find emotional or that's impactful. Mm-hmm. It's very impactful.
And what was really cool is last year she let everybody go up. Anybody that showed up to watch the raising, if they wanted to go up to the roof and help raise the flags, because in the prior years it was only like maybe 5 or 6 people were allowed. Last year she said, everybody come. So that was so cool to include everybody.
Great.
So and now we'll move into the real event, which is the trans rally. This is the first time our pride group has ever put on a rally. We've supported others, this year from 4 to 6 on that Friday, or tomorrow, this weekend, we're putting a call to action rally together. I mean, with everything that's going on, our transgender family members are under attack. They're just politically, personally, you get the rhetoric from Washington and people pick it up and they start passing it around. So we want to bring some more awareness of our transgender community here in Sonoma County. And we're hoping to have Susan Ford from San Francisco Pride, the executive director, come out and speak. And we have some other community organizers that are going to come out and speak, but we're trying to keep it local and we're trying to keep it people here and give them an opportunity to be out and loud and proud as well.
Excellent. So that's
we're hoping to have Amy Schneider also. She's very busy, but she's going to get back to me before Friday and let me know if she can make it to give a speech, because she was our grand marshal a couple years ago also. And you remember her from Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So walk us through the rest of the weekend. What happens on Saturday and then leading up to Sunday?
So after the trans rally, we'll take a dinner break and then we go and do a kickoff party at Shady Oak. This is going to be we're doing a kind of a throwback, 90s throwback, old school bar drag party, a little sassiness going on. We have Ruby Red is our host for the weekend. It goes with our Ruby anniversary since it's 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Ruby celebration. So hopefully everybody's going to be wearing their Ruby slippers this year to go along with it. And then Cheryl's going to wake up super early on Saturday morning to get the parade up and going. Unfortunately, I get to get up that early too, but it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to the parade this year. I think it's going to be very colorful, very loud. After having so many folks come out last year, we're anticipating even more this year. The political climate has really pushed our community to be out more. And so we're planning for it.
Yeah, so it really does feel like the parade has grown as I've watched it over the last several years. It's a grown-up parade. Cheryl, talk about who we can expect to see marching down the street.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're up to like about 65 registrations right now, but I anticipate close to 100 by the time the parade rolls around. And we are going to see, we've got Bank of America, we've got Congressman Mike Thompson, we got Compassion Without Borders, Face to Face, Food for Thought, Forgotten Felines, Free Mom Hugs, Kaiser, the Hubbub Band, we've got the Law Enforcement Chaplaincy is going to be there, the Living Room, Sonoma County Library. I mean, I could go on and on. North Bay Derby. A lot of the same people that we've had over the years that are totally supportive, but we also have some new people this year, too. We have the Roper Romp, Sonoma County Roper Romp, which is they are people that dress like the Ropers. Remember that show?
Yep. Reese Company? I have seen them before.
They're really fun. And we have Sonoma Clean Power, who's one of our sponsors, Traditional Medicinals, YMCA. I mean, I could go on. There's just so many people. Because honestly, I was kind of concerned, like, are people going to come out and support us? Are people going to be able to be in the parade? Is it going to be against their businesses support Pride, but no, people started registering as soon as registration opened. I think the first ones to register were Hogan Land Services. They were like, the minute I put it out there that it was open, it was like, I looked and like, oh my God. So we've got just all kinds of businesses supporting us. Fountain Grove Lodge, of course, will be there. We've got the Oakmont Rainbow Women who are now, there's not going to be 400 of them in the parade, but out in Oakmont, there's like 400 lesbians that have this group out there. It's just amazing. The Phoenix Dancers, Planned Parenthood, Positive Images, the Queer Electeds in Sonoma County. So a group of people that are in elected positions that are LGBT. And we've got the Russian River Sisters, who are going to be one of our honorees, which we can talk about in a little bit. And Santa Rosa JC, Santa Rosa City Bus, TLC, Child and Family Services, Starbucks. I mean, like I said, I could go on and on. It's just
fabulous. 100 contingents. So that's really good.
Yeah, and everybody's just like so excited to be in it, you know? So it's kind of like as soon as people started registering, I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Excellent. Actually helped with our enthusiasm about
yeah,
Pride,
exactly,
because
because
we were all in a funk this year.
Yeah, it's kind of approaching it very cautiously this year, like, okay, we're going to do this and hopefully it's going to be wonderful. And it is. And we've got a fabulous community here.
And what time does the parade start?
The parade starts at sharply at 11 a.m.
And tell us about the Grand Marshals.
This year we have Holly Neer. Of course, she's been an activist in the community for over 50 years. And we're so lucky to have so many local celebrities here. And then Magi Fedorka, which we talked about earlier. She's one of the pioneers who did a pride resolution in 1987 to have the Board of Supervisors recognize the LGBT community. And she's going to be one of our grand marshals. And then our honorees are the Michelle Porter, who's a lifelong advocate for Sonoma County social justice, and the Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who, of course, put the fun in fundraising, as they say. And they're joyful and they're just great activists, and they support the community, always doing fundraising and with their bingo. And so I think it's going to be a really fun parade.
Great. And so after the parade, the festival will begin in Courthouse Square. It's a great location. When it was moved from Guerneville, as much as I love Guerneville, I think Courthouse Square is really a good spot for it. But it almost feels like we're outgrowing that. I mean, it's gotten bigger and bigger each year.
Funny that you say that, because we've been talking about expansion. So, I think downtown Santa Rosa could handle it if we got bigger. It's spreading it out is what we would need to do. And we've been in conversation with Simon's Plaza and some of their properties. Since we're like a block away from them. Mm-hmm. If we closed the street in front of them, we could put another stage right in front of Simon. So we've been talking about how we could expand and make Pride a larger footprint if needed. And it's talks that we've been going on with the city as well, because we'd really like the city to be the buy-in from them mm-hmm. to help us get it planned. But the last 2 years, we've actually talked about how we would expand Pride to accommodate for more. And I think we can do it downtown.
I do. So tell us about some of the entertainment people can expect.
So our ex-president, J.D. Donovan, has been, ever since I've been on the board, she's been asking for Betty Who. And she'd be so proud of us to bring Betty Who out for our 40th anniversary. I had no idea who she was until I started listening to the music. And I was like, Betty Who? Who is Betty Who? And I started listening to the music and I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this a long time ago so I knew who she was. And I'm very excited. I'm so glad that we can, I know she's not local and it's about celebrating our local, but it's also about celebrating 40 years of Pride for us. And to bring somebody out like Betty Who for everybody for a free event is just amazing that we can do it. Even with sponsorship dollars down a little bit, we've still been able to manage because we're very fiscally responsible and mm-hmm. we have a little bit of funds that we've set aside. We're excited. I'm very excited to have Betty Who out there as our headliner this year. I know half of our DJs are all, I want to play. I want to play with her. I'm very excited to have her.
Go.
And then we have David Hernandez, who's an American Idol finalist, LGBTQ advocate. He's great vocals, very heartfelt, self-loving. Can't wait to bring him out and hear him live. I mean, it's always fun to hear the difference between what you see and hear and mm-hmm. then have him on stage. We also have a San Francisco Idol pop group called Gloomy June. Watching their videos and hearing them, I'm very excited. And then we also have a local DJ that's going to help us out, who we all love. And if you've never heard Rotten Robbie, you got to come out. Because of our theme being 40 years, we've asked all of our DJs to do like a 40-year sort of mix. So it's, you know, the gay idols, gay icons over the past 40 years, and who better to do it than DJ Rotten Robbie? He always does great throwbacks, and this is one of my favorite Pride icons, so to speak, to bring out. We'll have Cheer SF, who's always been a great supporter of Sonoma County Pride over the last few years. And it's interesting working with them because the money that they raise, they actually give back to our community. I always thought it went into a larger pool and it was grant funding for a larger cause. But the last few years, they've written us a check back. And
that's great. Said,
here, we raise this in your parade and at your festival. And we just get such positive feedback from them about our community and how exciting that they now, right after Pride, they send us, book us for next year. Let us know what your dates are. So it's fun. It's great to bring these larger elements that some of our folks here in Sonoma County may have not seen before, like the sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody gets to interact with them personally. We've all seen them online, but we're trying to bring little pieces of the, you know, gay community out here so that you don't have to go to San Francisco or a larger city to see it, but we have it here right in a safe place for everybody.
And I think it's important to point out, this is very much a family event. You're going to have, of course, the entertainment you spoke about, there'll be booths and an array of food trucks, but there is something really for all ages there, isn't there?
There is. We have a kids zone, kids family zone. We also have a quiet zone. So people that are, you know, too much noise, I can't remember.
Stimulation.
Yeah. Yeah. A stimulation area to
get away.
Sensory overload sort of thing. So we do try our best to accommodate for everybody. We have ASL interpreters for both the stage, main stage and the parade. So our hearing impaired folks can follow along as well. So there's a lot of little moving pieces in all of this that make it come together. And we do try our best, our hardest to include everybody, because for me, Pride is not about excluding anybody. And we want to be as inclusive as possible.
Great. And so after the festival ends, tell us about what's on tap for the rest of the weekend.
So the rest of the weekend, we go to, we're going to move down the street to the Crown Jewels, which is going to be our after party that we've teamed up with the THTR folks that do the monthly drag brunch and some other LGBTQ events down there. They're hosting our after party at the Vintage Lounge at the Flamingo. And then Sunday, we return to one of now our signature events, which is we've been touted as the largest gay pool party north of the gate in Northern California at Grayton Resort and Casino. We've been planning with them, since last year to do this event. And this year, we are very excited to have Deborah Cox come out and perform for us there. This is a much larger caliber event than we normally throw. We like our bar events, but it's come into play that it's really cool to see all the color, the diversity, all of the different fractions of our group come together in a safe place like at Grayton and enjoy themselves and just be free. It's amazing. It sounds funny to throw a big pool party and everybody calls it commercial, but yeah, so what? We get to be ourselves and in a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about people, you know, protesting us or shouting at us or whatever. But I have to give it to Grayton. They really help us a lot to make that a safe place for us.
Yeah, been longtime supporters of Sonoma County Pride, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well,
we're already talking about 2026, so
that's
be
awesome.
Nice to them.
That's awesome. Well, the weekend is certainly got a lot going for it. There is something there for everybody, but it doesn't happen all on its own. You rely a lot on community support. So talk about how members of our community can support Sonoma County Pride, like with donations and volunteers.
Oh, volunteers. So our Pride weekend, I would have to say it takes between 100 and 150 volunteers. And that does not include the Pride board itself and our friends, because we all rope our friends into it. But we do register volunteers all year round. And if anybody would like to help, we have jobs for everybody, every skill set. We you know, as long as you're a friendly person and you're a go-getter, we really want you to come in. It's a great way to meet people in the community. Everybody asks us, how do you meet people? Volunteer with us. You will meet people. Not only will you meet the participants coming in to just have a good time at Pride, but you'll meet the other people behind Pride and what I call our faceless people, because I don't, I don't put myself out there that much. And we're running around behind the scenes doing all the stuff. And, you know, we do it for the community. We do it to be included. It's just, it's nice. It's fun. And donations, we always will take money. So it takes a lot. Pride is about our budget is about $250,000 to produce all of this. So we're not only are we raising sponsorships throughout the year, but with the hands of like Santa Rosa Gaydar, we do monthly events where we'll do raffles and other small, just little bits of money. You know, that door money goes right into Pride. Mm-hmm. So if you do come to one of our events and we have a cover charge, I know it's inconvenient, but that money goes back to Pride. And our places that we're having these events are donating the space so that we can keep that money in Pride. So just think about that when you're attending one of our year-round events, that you are supporting just by showing up, you are supporting our annual Pride event.
Fantastic. Where can people go to learn more about where they can donate, how to volunteer, and then get the details about all that's coming up this coming weekend?
Oh, it makes it super easy. Just go to SonomaCountyPride.org. There's a button on the right-hand side to donate. There's a button on the right-hand side to volunteer. Every page is there. There's a drop-down menu option that says Pride 2025. Those are all the events. And not just our events, but we're including like the film festival. Gay Wine Weekend is up there. Women's Weekend is up there. So other LGBTQ events that are annually focused will be on there, and you can get more information about them as well.
Great. And once again, it all starts this coming Friday, May 30th, and runs through the weekend. There's something to do all day and all night. Well, we've been talking with Cheryl Kabanuk and Chris Crenmora on the board of Sonoma County Pride. Thank you for all the effort that you put into making this event always special for us every year.
Great. Thank you so much for your support.
Should be a really, really great celebration this year. Well, as many of you know, one of my jobs during the day includes teaching college-level LGBT studies classes. And this semester, some of my students took on a capstone project that involved a subject in the community that they discovered some passion around. And part of the project includes creating a podcast. And here's one of those from a very talented group of Napa Valley College students on HIV.
The AIDS crisis feels very distant. The importance of history is to learn from it and to prevent it in the future. So now, more than ever, we need to remind ourselves of the tragedies that occurred during this epidemic. There have been threats to Medicaid about no longer covering HIV medication. International resources have been cut for third world countries, not to mention the withdrawn information about AIDS on government health websites. These recent events have pushed us to further educate each other and our peers. In the early days of the AIDS epidemic, when there was no information about AIDS, the LGBTQ community had to discover things about this disease for themselves. We have had answers now for a while, and we cannot let them be lost, no matter what sort of gay propaganda AIDS is claimed to be.
In 1981, there was the first recorded case of AIDS. HIV was most likely been present throughout the 1930s. Five young, seemingly healthy gay men suddenly got sick with lung infection. These infections would not have happened to someone who had a functioning immune system. Cases of AIDS only became more and more prominent as time went on. The government refused to acknowledge the virus, let alone provide research and resources. It took Ronald Reagan's friend who passed from the disease for the government to start taking action towards the disease. During this time, being diagnosed was a death sentence. The FDA was very slow to release clinical trials, and many activist groups would push them to go faster. Activists, groups, and nonprofit help many AIDS patients because doctors in New York City were told not to diagnose AIDS. There were flyers showing the symptoms of HIV and AIDS in cities like San Francisco with an address citing where to go if you were presenting symptoms. These groups provided support and housing for AIDS patients. Oftentimes, these groups had to do their own research about the disease. AIDS patients couldn't even get beds in hospitals. There was so much stigma surrounding the disease because of the lack of information. No one wanted to touch HIV positive people due to thinking they would contract the disease. Many religious leaders at the time also said that this is what gay people deserve for engaging in same-sex relations anyway.
HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus and causes the HIV infection. This term can refer to the virus or the infection itself. AIDS stands for acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. It is the more advanced and developed version of HIV. It could take years of having untreated HIV for it to damage your body enough to turn into AIDS. HIV attacks CD4 cells. These white blood cells help fight infections and illness. Because of this, HIV weakens your immune system and makes you more susceptible to opportunistic infections, including other STIs and cancers. In the 80s, bathhouses became popular sources of HIV transmission. Many gay people would meet in the bathhouses and engage in unprotected sex, as well as sex with multiple partners. This began to spread the virus rapidly throughout the community. And because mostly gay men were being infected, people thought only gay men could get HIV. Closeted gay men would go to the bathhouses, engage in unsafe sex, then spread the virus to their wives.
Without treatment, HIV destroys the immune system. It takes 8 to 10 years for your immune system to be completely eradicated. At this point, HIV develops into AIDS. AIDS is the most advanced stage when the body starts developing rare cancers that a healthy immune system would have been able to fight off. These cancers include Kaposi sarcoma, aggressive B-cell non-Hodgkin lymphoma, and cervical cancer. AIDS also leaves you at risk for developing opportunistic infections. What are opportunistic infections? Opportunistic infections are tuberculosis, toxoplasmosis, pneumocystic pneumonia. These infections wouldn't be a problem in a healthy immune system, but when you have AIDS, you have no immune system, hence the name opportunistic. These infections can easily kill AIDS patients. Your body has no defense system against these infections, making it quite easy for you to die because of them. Luckily, there is a way to lower your viral load of HIV so you don't develop AIDS. Now there are medications that will provide a normal life for these individuals.
HIV prevention and treatment. HIV cannot be cured, but it can be treated. And the treatments can provide an almost normal life. The best way to treat HIV is to protect yourself from getting it. The easiest way is using condoms every time you have sex. If you are having unprotected sex and your sexual partner has HIV, you can take a medication called PrEP, which can reduce your risk. PrEP will also protect a fetus from being infected during pregnancy if the mother is HIV positive. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It is for people who don't already have HIV but are at risk of getting it. And it is a medicine that can reduce your risk. It can either be a pill that you take every day or an injection you get every 2 months. And with PrEP, if you do get exposed to HIV, the medicine can stop HIV from taking hold and spreading throughout your body. The treatment for HIV is called antiretroviral therapy, also known as ART. And ART involves taking a combination of HIV medicines called an HIV treatment regimen on a regular schedule. It's usually everyday pills or once every few months injections, similar to PrEP. ART is recommended for everyone who has HIV. it can't cure HIV, but it can help people who have HIV live long, healthy lives. ART also reduces the risk of HIV transmission. HIV medicines prevent it from multiplying in your body, which reduces the viral load of the disease in your body. And having less HIV in your body gives the immune system a chance to recover and produce more infection-fighting cells. After being on HIV treatment medication, the virus in your body can become undetectable when taking a test. This doesn't mean that it is cured, however, it means it can't be spread to someone else. And that is the goal, because if you're on treatment and you're not spreading it to other people, then the cases will slowly go down over time.
And that wraps up our hour. Don't forget, this year's Sonoma County Pride celebration kicks off on Friday with the parade down 4th Street beginning at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. The festival follows in Courthouse Square. You can learn more, get all the details at sonomacountypride.org. Tune in next Sunday night for Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio. In the meantime, have a great week, and thanks for spending your Sunday night with us. Outbeat News in Depth is hosted and produced by Greg Moralia. Our shows are available for on-demand play anytime on our website at outbeatnews.com and on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now on iHeartRadio. Find links to subscribe at outbeatnews.com. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what. So I give it up to you.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up. And I silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day, I'll rise up.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCBFM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised right here in Sonoma County, with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. You're listening to 104.9 KRCB-FM Roanoke Park and KRCG-FM Windsor, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. The Jazz Hot is next.